Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. I wear mine every time I go out, especially to a concert. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Welcome to This Country Life. I'm your host, Brent Reeves. From coon hunting to trot lining and just general country living, I want you to stay a while as I share my stories and country skills that'll help you beat the system. This Country Life is proudly presented as part of Meat Eaters Podcast Network, bringing you the best outdoor podcasts the airways have to offer. All right, friends, pull you up a chair or drop that tailgate. I think I got a thing or two to teach you. The Black Bear Bonanza. I just got home from the third annual Black Bear Bonanza hosted by the Arkansas chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. I had the pleasure of visiting with old friends and making new ones. I want to tell you all about it, but first, I'm going to tell you a story. The long and winding road that brought me in front of this microphone was a couple decades old when my old pal Claybo Newcomb and I traveled to Saskatchewan in 2017. He needed a cameraman, and as luck would have it, I needed a free trip to Canada. What a coincidence. That trip 7 years ago was one of the things that got a lot of industry eyes looking at my old partner. Now that, and his incredible foundation of work in print and broadcast media, but a viral video never hurts. Unless you're robbing a liquor store or filling fish full of trot line weights. But that video, you know the video, the one where the bear pokes his nose in our makeshift blind and his nose touches Clay's arrow. That one. If you hadn't seen it, I applaud your ability to fly under the radar because people send it to me all the time. Apparently, they think it's a pretty cool bit of footage and are unaware I'm the guy that filmed it. Anyway, there we sat, after riding in a boat for a couple hours in the Canadian wilderness, waiting on a bear that had been in and out of that area that was described as being the bear. They said, "That's the bear you're looking for." They didn't have a picture to show us, but they said, "You'll know it when you see him." "Okay, boys, if you say so, eh?" Now, even though it was an afternoon hunt, we were in no hurry to get set up after we got there. The sun never sets up there that late in June, and there was never a time that I couldn't have found my way around outside without the aid of a light at the darkest time of night, unless it was cloudy, but even then, that didn't last long. We settled in the blind that was made from small jack pine limbs that had been tied together about waist high against a backdrop of standing trees. It was just big enough for us to get in with all my camera gear, and we sat facing the bait barrel. I set the camera up, and we were finishing up shooting our introductory video when the first bear of the afternoon walked into the frame just as I was stopping recording. Now, quickly, I started recording again, and you can see the brief split in the final production. Now, normally, I'd have kept running footage once the interview stopped to have plenty to edit with later, but this was the first day of a 7-day hunt in the land of the living skies, and I was hoarding digital space on my hard drives like those folks on A&E store newspapers and dirty clothes. I didn't want to run out. Turned out, I wasn't going to need near about all the space I'd brought anyway. Well, after that initial bear came in, and there was a steady stream of bears coming to the bait. One after another, they came in. There was never a time when there was only one, and never a time when there weren't multiple bears behind us. And when I say behind us, I mean right behind us. Like when you're driving and someone is tailgating you, they are following too close. The person riding with you in the back seat, that's how close they were, and what I mean when I say they were right behind us. There was so much going on in front of us, I never had a chance to turn around to film the backseat bear jubilee that was taking place at our 6 o'clock. They were standing behind us within arm's reach of where we sat, watching the bears in front of us as the bait jockeying for position and deciding on where everyone was going to get some chow without starting a hockey game or a fight. Now, Clay was there to shoot a bear, and I was there to film him doing it. For me to do my job, I have to operate the camera and watch the view screen to keep everything framed up properly. I glanced behind us and I saw three bears close. Now let's review. They were right behind us close. I could hear them breathing. I could hear them shuffling back and forth as they looked through the back of our blind, which, if you'll recall, was only a handful of standing jack pines. Now, that could have no more kept a bear out than it could have kept out the wind. And I wasn't watching them. I whispered to Clay, "There's some bears behind us." He didn't seem too concerned, and understandably so. There were bears all around us, but the ones behind us were closer to us than the ones in front of us. And the ones in front of us were from 25 to 5 yards away. I probably should mention about now that the only thing we had for self-defense was Clay's stick bow and that had a maximum killing range of 25 yards, some bear spray that's useful out to about 10 yards, and anything beyond that was about as effective as talking bad about the bear's mama. Now, I glanced back and momentarily took my eyes off the viewfinder to see that two of the three bears had walked up to the very edge of where we were sitting. They couldn't get any closer without getting in the blind with us. It's no exaggeration to say from where I was sitting that I could have grabbed one of them by the ear. Also, had they wanted to, they could have grabbed a hold of mine. They appeared to pay no attention to us. Their immense focus was on the bears at the bait, and it made me feel even less significant. They were moving and bobbing their heads and looking around and over us at the other bears. I knew they had no concern or fear for us, and if the mood struck them, that they'd just walk in and monkey stomp us on the way to the bait barrel. It was like being betwixt the biggest hog in the trough when someone hollered suey. You didn't want to be there. "Clay, the bears are right behind us." He didn't respond. "Clay." He half turned around toward me and nodded without looking back behind me, acknowledging what I was saying, but obviously unconcerned. He was focused on the bears in front, too, rightfully so. They were laying at the bait, they were walking around all within 25 yards of us, and one of them came to within a few yards, none of which were as close as the bears behind us, who at that time were more or less sitting in the same row as me watching the show. "Clay, these bears." He turned around, I guess, realizing that I needed his attention finally, and his eyes got big. He didn't say a word, and I didn't either. He paused for a second, and he turned his head back around to the bears out front. Now, I didn't need him to say or do anything. There wasn't anything to be said or done. I just didn't want it to be a shock to him when the Donnybrook broke out behind him. I focused back on the viewfinder, and I never looked back. The two that were so close I could see out of the corner of my right eye the whole time they stood there. They eventually walked on around to the right of us and made their way toward the others. The third bear I lost track of. I didn't know where he went. Then the target bear appeared, and we knew immediately that it was him. He was a big one. Jet black, dark muzzle, and a big old pumpkin head. It was him, no doubt. He eventually moved around, and Clay took his shot, and he missed. It was a sad moment. He was sick and upset with himself for missing. I let him stew on it for about 20 seconds, and I told him, knock another arrow and get back in the game. We were working, and it was time to get back to it. A small boar and a young blonde sow came in. We watched them, as Clay so eloquently said in the film, frolic around in front of us, until their courtship was rudely interrupted by a big color-phased bear that no one had ever seen before. He came in like a boss and chased them away from the area out of sight. Less than a minute later, he returned, and so had the couple bears behind us. I just happened to look back when he ran the happy couple off to see the two bears within 10 feet that had watched the whole ordeal just as we had. I had no idea how long they'd been there, and I'm still amazed at how quiet they can be when they want to. My only defense at this point in this whole struggle was trying to look like I didn't taste good, or at least not as good as Clay. They paid no attention to us. The big boar that had wrecked the petting party was making his way toward the bait now, and he paused to stand on his hind legs and sniff up a tree. It was then I fully realized how big he was. He then continued his path, walking directly toward us, past the bait, getting closer with each step and offering no shot for Clay to take. I kept filming. He kept getting bigger. I knew what I was filming was good, and I was determined to keep it rolling and framed up well, if for nothing else, so the Mounties could fill out their report on what had happened to us. I could hear that bear breathing as he walked closer, and I concentrated with all I had on what my job was, and that was to watch the viewfinder to make sure I captured as good as possible what was happening. Camera focus, framing, remaining calm, working to keep Clay and the bear in the shot kept me from being distracted from the fact that the bear was now as close as he could be without getting inside with us. Then the bear half stood up and poked his head in the blind, touching the tip of Clay's arrow in the process. Now, I'm not sure that little poke isn't what stopped him from coming on in and beating us both up. I wasn't scared, and I didn't think I was about to die, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't know that we weren't going to get chewed on a little bit. The bear turned to walk away, and Clay drilled him with a lethal hit that was a fatal wound as you could ask for. That shot might as well have been a hand grenade, because that bear stopped at 25 yards to fall over. Then Clay made the best shot I have ever seen with a stick bow and 12-ringed that bear, who jumped out of the frame and died right out of sight, right then and right there. I looked away from the camera long enough to see the bears behind us had gone. Satisfied we were both going to live through this, I went back to work filming my brother have his come apart while reflecting on what had happened, neither one of us fully understanding the gravity of what each of us had just done. We released that film on the Bear Hunting Magazine YouTube channel and survived the death threats to us and our families from the commenters who said the bear spared us, so we should have spared him. I guess they overlooked the fact that we were there legally, ethically, and the primary goal to shoot a bear, all of which we did. Anyway, that 14 minutes and 8 seconds of footage bolstered Clay's bona fides and helped him on his way to where he is now. And I'll tell you this, it didn't hurt my resume either. It's easy to forget sometimes that all the stuff you're seeing folks do on the screen and hearing on your speakers, that there's another person there seeing it from the other side of the lens. The microphone. Clay's fond of saying, a rising tide raises all ships. I'd say I'm proof of that. And that's just how that happened.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/meat eater. That's OReillyAuto.com/meat eater. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today, because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Last Saturday, me and over 1,000 of my closest friends gathered in Bentonville, Arkansas to celebrate Ursus Americanus, the American black bear. I absolutely love these curious creatures. I love how they hunt, how they live, how they spend the winters, and how they taste. I was there for the 3rd annual Black Bear Bonanza hosted by my friends in the Arkansas chapter of the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. And I've been to every one of them. Good Lord willing, I'll be at a bunch before my tenure's over. The event grew out of ideas from a group of like-minded souls who wanted to celebrate the resurgence of the black bear in the Ozarks of Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma back around 2019. Now, those initial ideas got the ball rolling, and it hasn't slowed down. The first was scheduled for March of 2020. I was scheduled to tell a story at that one, but it was canceled due to the pandemic. Then in 2022, we had the first one. And for the last 3 years, the Black Bear Bonanza has been growing every year. They moved to a bigger location this year, and it's a good thing. We couldn't have gotten all those folks at the old place. But don't let that keep you from planning to come visit next March. The crowd was big, but the feeling was as much of a small town as you could get. The BHA volunteer gals and guys put untold numbers of volunteer hours to put this event on and never get enough credit or recognition. Now, some had their family members there helping out as well. It truly is a community-run operation, and the people who attend there are as much of that community as those working. Clay Newcomb and I rolled up a little after 9 that morning, and there was a line of folks waiting to get in. I talked to so many people that like Meat Eater and that listen to Bear Grease and This Country Life and share an affinity for bears and all the other outdoor pursuits that were represented there. So many activities for kids to participate in, and there were whole families represented with kids from infants to teens to adults with their parents. James Brandenburg is the Arkansas BHA chapter president and is quick to give the credit of the success of the whole event to all the volunteers and the folks working behind the scenes. Now, I was talking to James this morning, and I asked him how it all went on his end. Man, let me tell you, that cat was fired up about how it all came together. And while they don't have the specific numbers tallied up yet, he said he could testify that there was well over 1,000 people in attendance and hundreds more kids than last year's. It's free admission for 12 and under, and it was an absolute wonderful sight seeing all the kids that were there. A young man named Gunner drew and colored me a picture after listening to a recent podcast I did. And I have it hanging in my office now. It's beside the one that Owen drew me last November when I got sneak attacked by that kidney stone. The Bonanza was where I met Owen last year. Owen returned with his dad John and messed around and won the title of the Black Bear Bonanza Al Hooten Junior Championship of the Civilized World. I saw and visited with a man that I met at the first Black Bear Bonanza. I met him and his wife, and I remembered him because he was wearing a Stetson hat like the one President Johnson made famous. He drove up from Dallas. I also saw their toddler playing and pushing a buggy around that they pushed her around in when she was an infant the first time I met him. I have literally seen that child grow up in the Black Bear neighborhood. I met new folks from Michigan that gave me a recipe for biscuits and making butter that I can't wait to try. The Tucker family, the Ramseys, the Walkers, I could go on and on about the people that were there and how that singular event put so many different people from different points of the compass in one spot to celebrate more than just black bears. I met a fellow from Ontario that drove down. That's overseas in Canada, for goodness sakes. California, Florida, New York, and I'm pretty sure half of the population of Oklahoma. Probably be easier to list the states that weren't represented there than it was to list the ones that were. I look forward to seeing the little folks more than anything every year. Like James said, this year there were way more than any year before. It was fantastic. My brothers in blue always show up. Thanks for the coins, Don. I talked to several folks that were in the military, but there was one fellow that stood out to me, and I met him backstage right before the Al Hooten contest started. He was talking with some of the other volunteers who were keeping the event wheels greased and rolling smooth, and I first assumed Will was one of the Arkansas BHA volunteers. Turns out I was only half right. He was a volunteer, but he'd driven down the day before from Idaho, and since he was a day early, and with nothing else to do, he decided to do a little recon. Will drove to the fairgrounds and walked in the building where all the volunteers were busy as cats in a sandbox. Will asked if they needed any help. They put that joker to work, and he jumped right in, working alongside everyone else. Now, I've hosted the Al Hooten contest for the last 2 years, and between the rounds, the event gives away a ton of door prizes that are donated by area businesses and corporations. I snatched up an FHF gear chest pack from the Meat Eater South headquarters before we left Clay's house that morning and decided I'd give it away to whomever had driven the farthest. Well, after some lively debate, Will from Idaho won with 1,800-plus miles driven. It was close, but everyone agreed that he was the winner. I brought him on stage. I gave him his prize that I'd robbed from Clay's house, and James Brandenburg thanked him for volunteering, and then I asked him what he did for a living. Will said he'd just retired after 21 years in the military, and that place went crazy, erupted with cheering. And that's where I know there's more than just hope for this country. There's promise, too. It moved me a lot. It does still, just thinking about it. I handed him a case knife from my pocket, and I thanked him for his service to our nation, and I shook his hand. He went on his way, and we continued the contest, and Cameron Tidwell took home the Grown Folks Division Championship of Al Hootery. Now, later on, as the event was closing down around 5 o'clock, I was standing in the back visiting with some friends when I saw Will walking up. I assumed he was going to say goodbye. He said, "I got something for you." And he handed me a Benchmade tactical knife that he'd carried on 5 combat deployments. Ooh, man. I didn't know what to say. But I understood the gift. It wasn't just a gift. It wasn't just a knife. He was entrusting me with something I know that was special to him, just like the one that I'd given him was special to me. Along with my family's legacy with Case, that knife I gave him was a Christmas present last December from Alexis and Bailey, a replacement knife for the one I donated to the Meat Eater auction last fall. Now, that auction was for a great cause, but I whined so much about it being gone that they bought me another one just like it so I'd shut up. I say all of that to say this. I can't think of a better thing to single out and pay homage to than people from all over this continent gathering under one roof, singularly focused on one thing. And I don't think it was black bears. I wouldn't risk losing a dollar bet that there was more than 1% of the crowd there that had ever bear hunted. It was a celebration of bears, true enough, but of all the literal hundreds of conversations I had with people, not one of them that I can remember was about bear hunting. There's good folks out there, everywhere, and if you set a date and a time and invite them over, they'll come. Some of them will bring their youngins too. And you'll always find something to talk about, some common ground, if you just listen and take turns. Don't forget that dates and times are set for the Meat Eater live tour that's heading west. Tickets are available now, and you can find out all the info at meateater.com. I did one last December in Kansas City, and man, it was a lot of fun. These will be too. Now, y'all be sure and check out the Meat Eater YouTube channel for a turkey hunt and catfishing trip that me and old Claybo did in Missouri last spring. You look for our Mississippi River Expedition film from January that's dropping very soon. I think you'll like them both. And hey, before I get out of here, remember when I said at the close of this week's story about the people that work behind the scenes of the cool stuff you see and hear? Well, there's a farm girl from Iowa that works as hard as anyone on this show and a lot of others. She's the best. Thanks, Reba. Until next week, this is Brent Reeves signing off. Y'all be careful. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. I wear mine every time I go out, especially to a concert. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.